Chapter 22. Emperor Ascendant. At last, Vox reports began to trickle through to the defenders gathered in the temple's graveyard district. Across Hell's Reach, Saren's plan, the 100 Bastions of Light, was in effect, with Imperial forces massing in defensive formations around the most vital parts of the city. Contact was erratic at best, but the fact it even existed was a boost to morale. Every point of focused defense was holding well, with all divisions breaking down between stormtroopers, guard infantry, steel legion armor units, militia and armed civilians, who chose to take to the streets rather than cower in their shelters. The city was fighting to keep its heart beating, and the orcs no longer found themselves advancing against a mobile wave of human resistance. Now the aliens were breaking against a multitude of last stands, hurling themselves against defenders that had nowhere left to run. Fortunately for the Imperials, enemy scrap titans were few in number. With recent engagements, such as the Battle of the Rosteric Ironworks, the Greenskins' complement of god machines had suffered furious losses in the face of Legio Invigilata's wrath. Even as Invigilata recalled its last remaining Titans from the city in the wake of Storm Herald's death, the Titans were forced to fight their way free of the orcs flooding through Hell's Reach's unprotected streets. Although several Titans escaped through the broken walls and into the ash wastes beyond, the Warlord-class engine Ironsworn was brought down by a massed infantry assault in an ambush similar to the one that had laid Storm Herald low all those weeks before. The last of the Imperial Navy forces in the city had based themselves at the Azal spaceport, where they continued to mount bombing runs and offer limited air support to the tank battalions ringing the Jaeger District's surface shelters. The fighting here was among the thickest and fiercest seen in the entire siege to date, and the archives, which would catalogue the Third War for Armageddon, came to consider many of the glorious propaganda falsehoods born here as cold fact. Many of these heroic twists of the truth were due to the writings of one Commissar Falkoff, whose memoir, entitled simply, I Was There, would become standard reading for all officers of the Steel Legions in the years after the war. Although there was absolutely no truth in the tale, Imperial records would state that Acting Commander Helios sacrificed his own life by ramming his lightning into the heart reactor of the enemy Gargant classified as Blood Defiler. The truth was rather more mundane. Like Barasath before him, Helios was shot down and torn to pieces shortly after disentangling from his grav chute on the ground. The presence of Godbreaker was a bane to any Imperial resolve nearby. Although the God Machine appeared a shadow of its former self, bearing a legion of wounds and missing limbs from its death duel with Storm Herald, with Invigilata marching away across the Badlands, the defenders of Hell's Reach had little in the way of firepower capable of retaliating against the Gargant. After laying waste to the Abraxas foundry complex, the mighty enemy engine adopted a random patrol of the city, engaging Imperial forces wherever it chanced upon them. Imperial records would state that while the siege of the Temple of the Emperor Ascendant was entering its second day, the alien war machine Godbreaker was destroyed on its way to finish the temple defenders once and for all. This, at least, was perfectly true. Jurizion watched the mechanical giant stride from the city, stepping through its sundered walls. There were three, the first escapees of Legio Invigilata, and the master of the forge stared from the quiet confines of Oberon's command module as the Titans left the burning city behind. The first was a Reaver class, a mid-range battle titan that appeared to have sustained significant damage if the columns of smoke rising from its back were any indication. Its flanking allies were both warhounds, their ungainly gait rocking their torsos and arm cannons side to side, step by step across the sands. The wastelands outside Hell's Reach's walls resembled nothing more than a graveyard. Thousands of dead orcs lay rotting in the weak sun, killed in Barasath's initial attack runs or slaughtered in the inevitable inter-tribal battles that arose when these bestial aliens gathered. Ruined tanks were scattered in abundance, As was the wreckage from countless propeller-driven planes, each one made out of scrap and reduced back to it. The Orcs' landing vessels stood abandoned, with every Xenos capable of lifting an axe now waging war inside the city. The primitive creatures were here to fight and destroy, or fight and die. They cared nothing for what fate befell their vessels left in the desert. Such forethought and consideration was beyond the mental capacity of most greenskins. Jurizion made no attempt to hide his presence. There would be little point in making the attempt, for he knew the approaching Titans would be able to read Oberon's energy shadow on their powerful Orspec scanners. So he waited, all systems active, as the Invigilata Titans drew near. The ground began to shiver with their closing tread, which Jurizion noted by the twisted metal and bodies across the desert floor shaking in rhythm with the god machines. The wounded Reaver came to a halt, its immense joints protesting that it was still forced to remain standing. It was damaged enough that a second's focus drift might see the Princeps losing control over the engine stabilizers. It slowly aimed its remaining weapon arm at the command module, and Jurizion looked up into the yawning maw of a Gatling blaster cannon. With Oberon's shields up, the Master of the Forge would have estimated the Ordinatus could tolerate several minutes of sustained assault, even from a weapon as destructive as this Reaver's main armament. But Oberon had no shields. They were one of many secondary systems that Jurizion had lacked the time, expertise, and manpower necessary to re-engage. He knew what a Gatling blaster was capable of. He'd seen them devastate regiments of tanks and rip the faces and limbs from enemy titans. Oberon's armor plating would last no more than a handful of seconds. The titans stared down at him in silence. No doubts while the Princeps decided how to deal with this unbelievable blasphemy. Hunchbacked and striding with arm cannons raised in threatening salute, the two warhounds circled the immobile Ordinatus. Their posturing amused the Forge Master. How they played at being wolves.
"Hail," he said into a broad range of vox channels.
In truth, he was growing bored of the silence. He was far, far from intimidated.
"What blasphemy is this?"
crackled the reply through the command module's internal speakers.
"What heretic dares defile Oberon's deserved slumber?"
Jurizion leaned back in the control throne, elbows on the armrests and his gloved fingers steepled before his helmed face.
"I am Jurizion of the Black Templars, master of the forge aboard the Eternal Crusader, and trained by the cult Mechanicus for years on the surface of Mars itself. I am also in possession of the Ordinatus Armageddon, after subduing its defences and reawakening its soul, force-binding it to my will. And lastly, I am summoned to Hell's Reach to aid wherever I am able. Aid me, or stand aside."
The delay was significant in duration, and in other circumstances that would have made it insulting. Jurizion suspected his words were being transmitted to all nearby princeps, almost definitely summoning them to this position. Half a kilometer away, another Reaver Titan was breaching the city walls, emerging into the ash wastes. The knight watched it begin its halting stride in this direction, noting that it was relatively undamaged.
"You are blaspheming against the machine god and its servants."
"I am wielding a weapon of war in defense of an imperial city. Now aid me or stand aside."
"Leave the Ordinatus platform or be destroyed."
"You are not about to open fire on this holiest of artifacts, and I am not empowered by my liege lord to comply with your demands. That brings us to a stalemate. Discuss useful terms, or I will take Oberon into the city unprotected, surely to be destroyed without significant Mechanicus support."
"Your corpse will be removed from the sacred innards of the Ordinatus Armageddon, and all remnants of your presence will be eradicated from memory."
As Jurizion drew breath to offer terms, his voxlink flickered into life. Grimaldus at last.
"Reclusiarch, I trust the time has finally come."
"We are embattled at the temple of the Emperor Ascendant. How soon can you bring the weapon to us?"
The master of the forge looked out of the reinforced windows at the patrolling titans, then at the city beyond, beneath a smoke-blackened sky. He knew the hive's layout from studying the hololithics before his exile into the desert.
2 hours.
Status of the weapon?
As before. Oberon has no void shields, no secondary weapon systems, and suspensor lift capability is limited, hindering speed to a crawl. Alone, I can fire it no more than once every 20 minutes. I need to recharge the fuel cells manually and regenerate flow from the plasma containment. I will see you in 2 hours, Jurisian. For Dorne and the Emperor.
By your will, Reclusiak.
Heed these last words, Forge Master. Do not bring the weapon too close. The Temple District is naught but fire and ash, and we are surrounded on all sides. Take the shot and flee the city. Pursue Invigilata's retreating forces, and link up with the Imperial assault along the Hemlock.
You wish me to run?
I wish you to live rather than die in vain, and save a weapon precious to the Imperium.
Grimaldus broke off for a moment, and the pause was filled with the anger of distant guns.
We will be buried here, Jurisian. There is no dishonor that your fate is elsewhere.
Call the primary target, Reclusiak.
You will see it as you maneuver through the Temple District, brother. It is called the Godbreaker.
4 titans soon barred his path. Mightiest among them, and the last to arrive, was a warlord, its armor plating black from paint, not battle scarring. Its weapons trained down, immense barrels aimed at the Ordinata's platform. The numerological markings along the engine's carapace marked it out as the Bane Sede.
I am Princeps Amaset of Invigilata, sub-commander of the Crone's forces and heir to her title in the wake of her demise. Explain this madness immediately.
Jurisian looked at the city and thought about his offer carefully before making it. He spoke with confidence, because he knew full well the Mechanicus had little other choice. He was going back into the city, and by the machine god, they were going to come with him. The graveyard, that immense garden of raised stone and buried bone, played home to the storm of disorder that had until recently been raging its way through the Temple District. The enemy had breached the temple walls at dawn on the second day, only to find that the graveyard was where the real defences stood in readiness. As tanks pounded the walls down and beasts scrabbled over the rubble, thousands of Hell's Reach's last defenders waited behind mausoleums, gravestones, ornate tombs of city founders, and shrines to treasured saints. Burning beams of lasfire cobwebbed across the battlefield, slicing the alien beasts down in droves. At the vanguard, a warrior clad in black and wielding a relic war hammer battled alongside a dwindling handful of his brothers. Every fall of his maul ended with the crunch of another alien life finished. His pistol, long since powered down and empty, dangled from the thick chain binding it to his wrist. Where the fighting was thickest, he wielded it like a flail, lashing it with whip-like force into bestial alien faces to shatter bone. At his side, 2 swordsmen moved and spun in lethal unison. Priamus and Bayard, their blade work complementing one another's perfectly, cutting and impaling with the same techniques, the same footwork, and at times even in the very same moments. With no banner to raise, not even the barest scraps left, Artarion laid about left and right with 2 chugging chain blades, their teeth tracks already blunted and choked with gore. Bastilan supported him, precision bolt-arounds punching home in alien flesh. Nero was always moving, never allowed to rest for even a moment's respite. He vaulted the enemy dead, bolter crashing out round after round as he blasted the beasts away from the body of another fallen brother, buying enough time to extract the gene seed of the honored dead. This he did, time after time, with tears running down his pale face. The deaths did not move him, merely the feeling of dread futility that all his efforts would be in vain. Their genetic legacy might never escape this hive to be used in the creation of more Astartes, and no chapter could afford to bear the loss of 100 slain warriors with easy dignity. Around the time Jurizion was entering the city, escorted by 5 Titans from Legio Invigilata, the Imperial defenses were straining to hold the outer limits of the graveyard. Cries of, "Fall back! Fall back to the temple!" started to spread through the scattered lines. Assigned squads, appointed teams, random groups of men and women all began to back away from the unending grind of the alien advance. The Bane Blade exploded, sending flaming shrapnel spinning in 100 directions. The Imperials nearest to the tank, those that weren't thrown from their feet, started to flee in earnest.
But there is nowhere to fall back to. Nowhere to run. Like a lance pushed close to breaking point, our resistance is bending, the flanks being forced back behind the center. No. I will not die here in this graveyard, beaten into darkness because these savages have greater numbers than we do. The enemy does not deserve such a victory. My boots clang on the sloped armor plating as I leap and sprint up the roof of the crippled burning Baneblade. In the maelstrom around the rocket-struck tank, I see the 101st Steel Legion and a gathering of dock workers trying to fall back in a panicked hurry, their forward ranks being scythed down by blood-stained axes in green-knuckled fists. Enough of this! The beast I am seeking seeks me out in turn. Huge, towering above its lesser kin, packed with unnatural muscle around its malformed bones and reeking of the fungal blood that fuels its foul heart. It launches itself onto the tank's hull, perhaps expecting some titanic jewel to impress its tribe. A champion, perhaps. A chieftain. It matters not. The brute's leaders rarely resist the chance to engage Imperial commanders in full view. They are loathsomely predictable. There is no time for sport. My first strike is my last, hammering through its guard, shattering its crossed axes, and pounding the aquila head of my Crozius into its roaring face. It topples from the Baneblade, all loose limbs and worthless armor, as pathetic in death as it had been in life. I hear Primus laughing from the tank's side, voxing it through his helm speakers, mocking the beasts even as he slays them. On the other side, Artarian and Bastilan do the same. The orcs redouble their assault with twice the fury and half the skill, and though I could reprimand my brothers for this indignity, I do not. My laughter joins theirs.
Asavan Tortellius was serene, and that surprised him, given the shaking of the walls and the sounds of war's thunder. This was no Titan's fortress cathedral back, where he had learned to worship in safety. This was a temple besieged. It had not taken long to find work to do within the basilica. He quickly came to realize that he was the only priest with experience of preaching on the battlefield. Most of the lay brothers and low-ranking ecclesiarchy servants spent their time attending to their daily tasks in hurried nervousness, praying the war would remain outside the walls. Several others cowered in the undercroft with the refugees, doing more harm than good and failing to ease a single soul with their stuttering, sweating sermons. Asavan descended into the sublevel, immediately marked out from the other preachers by his grimy robes and dishevelled hair. He walked among the people, offering gentle words to families as he passed. He was especially patient with the children, giving them the blessing of the God Emperor in his aspect as the machine god, and saying personal prayers over individual boys and girls that seemed the most weary or withdrawn. There was a lone guard stationed at the bottom of the stairs. She was slight of frame, both short and slender, wearing a suit of power armor that seemed too bulky to be comfortable. In her hands was a bolt gun, the weapon held across her chest as she stood to attention. Asavan moved over to her, his worn boots whispering across the dusty stone.
"Hello, sister," he said, keeping his voice low.
She remained unmoving, at perfect attention, though he could see the tremor in her eyes that betrayed how difficult she found it to bear this rigid nothingness.
"My name is Asavan Tortellius," he told her. "Will you please lower the weapon?"
She looked at him, her eyes meeting his. She didn't lower the bolter. What is your name?
He asked her.
Sister Marilyn, of the Holy Order of the...
Hello, Marilyn. Be at ease, for the enemy is still outside the walls. Might I ask you, please, to lower the weapon?
Why?
She leaned closer to whisper.
Because you are making the people here even more nervous than they already are.
By all means, be visible. You are their defender, and they will take comfort in your presence. But walk among them, and offer a few kind words. Do not stand there in grim silence, weapon held tight. You are giving them greater reason to fear, and that is not why you were sent down here, Marilyn. She nodded.
Thank you, Father.
The bolter came down. She maglocked it to her thigh plate. Come, he smiled.
Let me introduce you to some of them.
The Bane Sidhe's void shields rippled and rained sparks, brought into visibility as another layer was stripped by the explosive shells raining against them. A short growl of accumulating power ended in a blasting discharge of energy as the warlord annihilated the tanks laying claim to the Hell's Highway ahead. A black smoking scorch smear was all the evidence that the tanks had ever existed. Behind the striding Bane Sidhe, Oberon drifted forward on its gravity suspensors, gently cruising over any obstructions in its path. Bringing up the column's rear were the clanking ungainly warhounds that Bane Sidhe had ordered back into the city. The agreement made was monumentally simple, and that was why Jurizion was certain it would work.
"Defend Oberon," he'd said. "Defend it for long enough to take a single shot, to down the enemy command, Gargant. Then the Ordinatus will be surrendered into your control during the retreat towards the Hemlock River."
What choice did they have? Amasat's voice over the vox was harsh with the promise of recrimination should the plan fail to run smooth. Jurizion, for his part, could not have cared less. He had the support he needed, and he had a primary target to destroy. Infantry resistance was met with punishing and instant devastation. Armor formations endured no longer. Through the temple district, they encountered precious little in the way of enemy engines.
"That is because, blasphemer, Invigilata left the enemy Titan contingent in ruins."
"Except for the Godbreaker," the Forge Master replied. "Except for the slayer of Storm Herald."
Amasat chose not to retort.
"I have nothing on my Auspex," he said instead.
"Nor I,"
reported one of the Warhound Princeps.
"I see nothing,"
confirmed the other.
"Keep hunting. Draw closer to the temple of the Emperor Ascendant."
The Mechanicus convoy traversed the urban ruination in bitter dignity for another 8 minutes and 23 seconds before Amasat voxed again.
"Almost one quarter of the enemy inside this hive is embattled at the temple of the Emperor Ascendant. You are threatening Oberon with destruction as well as desecration? Does your heresy know no end?"
It was Jurizion's turn to abstain from the argument.
"I have a thermal signature," he said, studying the dim Auspex console to the left of his control throne. "It has a plasma shadow. Much too hot to be natural flame."
"I see nothing. Coordinates."
Jurizion transmitted the location codes. It was on the very edge of scanning range, and still several minutes away.
"It is moving to the temple."
"Locomotion qualifiers?"
"Faster than us."
The pause was almost painful, broken by Amasat's sneering tone.
"Then I will give you the victory you require. Talisman and hallowed verity, remain with the blessed weapon."
"Yes, Princeps,"
both warhounds responded. Bane Sidhe leaned forward, its armored shoulders hunched as it moved into a straining stride. Jurizion listened to the protesting gears, the overworked joints, hearing the engine's machine spirit cry out in the stress of metal under tension. He said a quiet word of thanks for the sacrifice about to be made.